Welcome to the Soul Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Kat Fowler. On today's episode, we have Joy Esler, a licensed acupuncturist and Chinese herbalist, as well as a doctor of medical Qigong. And today's episode is all about understanding our emotions. So before we get started, if you're new to the podcast, be sure to subscribe to be notified when new episodes release. And don't forget to leave a review while you're there. The more reviews and shares that we get, the more people we can reach, and you never know how an episode will affect someone's life. So share the love. So on today's episode, we talk about understanding the different emotions that we have as human beings and their relationship to our physical bodies, so the psychosomatic connection, really through the lens of traditional Chinese medicine. We'll be primarily talking about the five elements and their relationship with our constitution and our daily living and what it looks like when our emotions and our elements are in balance versus out of balance and ways to remedy that. So this episode is very, very educational and extremely informative. And if you look at it through the lens of discovering elements about yourself that you may be able to relate to, as well as elements to the people in your life, I think it can be very healing as well. So after experiencing dramatic healing with acupuncture, Joy Esler decided her life's path was to help people on their own road to health and healing. Joy completed her master's degree in acupuncture and Chinese herbs and is now an acupuncture physician, Chinese herbalist, doctor of medical Qigong, and board-certified diplomat of Oriental medicine. She offers holistic healing services, workshops, and yoga at her thriving private practice, Lotus Center of Healing. She utilizes multiple modalities to support her clients' healing, including acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, telehealth calls, lifestyle and nutritional guidance, medical Qigong, and yoga. Joy provides individualized treatments and education that promote the body, mind, and spirit and heart to heal itself. So I'm excited to share this episode with you and enjoy. All right. So hi, welcome to the Soul Awakening Podcast, Joy. We've known each other for a very long time and we're good friends. And I'm excited to have you on because you have such an amazing amount of knowledge and wisdom with you and your work. And I've learned so much from you over the years, but I was also like, oh my God, are we going to be laughing the whole time? Hopefully we can do this interview and it works. But okay.
A little bit of both.
Yeah. So thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So we just read your bio, but for those people that aren't familiar with what you do, do you want to give a little brief summary of the work you do and who you are?
Absolutely. So probably one of the most helpful things to know is I was an CPA for about 15 years and I got sick. And luckily Chinese medicine was actually able to diagnose what was going on and it actually helped me heal. So because of it, years later, I went back to school and became an acupuncturist, a Chinese herbalist. I have a doctoral degree in medical Qigong, and I'm also a yoga teacher.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the foundational elements of what Chinese medicine really is, because when we first started chatting about your work and Chinese medicine, we did a mini diagnostic session together. For me, I felt like I really understood my constitution. I understood why physically I am the way I am and a lot about my personality as well. And so I thought it was a really interesting and spot on way of really learning about yourself in a holistic way. And so for me, that was very helpful. So we'll just talk a little bit about what traditional Chinese medicine is, and then maybe we can get to the five main elements and constitutionally what that means when you are primarily a certain element.
Absolutely. So in Chinese medicine, we have lots of different theories and how to look at a person. One of the most common ones is actually looking at the five elements. And the five elements are actually all around us, yet at the same time, they're within us. And so the five elements are water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. And each of those, as you mentioned, Kat, have different associations, different personalities, different seasons that they're related to. We have different foods that relate to them, different activities and lifestyles and things that they're actually supposed to either give us as a gift, or if they get out of balance, then they get a little stressed, and in distress, then they act potentially a completely other way. So yeah. One of the things that is interesting is that everyone has all five of them. And so while we tend to focus a lot of the times on what's my primary one, it's really looking at how are we supposed to move through all of them. When we are in health, we are actually moving through each of the five appropriately and cycling through them without getting stuck in any particular one. When we are out of balance, though, we tend to hang out in one in particular, like our primary one. Mm-hmm. Yet there's also this idea where we more likely hang out in our top three, a tertiary. And so while we tend to have all five, it's sort of like, what ones do we hang out in all the time? Regardless of stressors, what is the one experience, emotion that always comes to mind? You know, we may think about it as like, how do we view the world? What sort of glasses do we put on when we look at a situation, look at an experience? Do we look at it from rose-colored glasses or related to the fire element? Do we put on blue-colored glasses and it's more related to the water element? So one of the ways you can actually think about it is and sort of even feel it in your body. What emotions do you always experience regardless of the stressor, regardless of the story? We always know those people where regardless of what's happening, they always get angry. And we can sort of see that same idea within ourselves. And when we're talking about those emotions in particular, so water relates to fear. And fear can show up in several different ways. We can be fearful. We can actually have a lack of fear, or we can be the opposite and be more like a daredevil. We can also be more on the anxious side. Then in the wood element, we do actually tend to be angry or frustrated. And when we talk about these emotions, it may be helpful to know these are translations from Chinese. And so they hold an energetic, and sometimes the translation gets a little bit lost, or we think of those terms in a negative connotation. And we'll get at what is really what we would view the negative quality versus the positive quality of each of those emotions. Yet after wood, we have fire. And fire is meant to be this place of joy or sadness. For earth, we have, again, another translation that sometimes gets a little lost is sympathy or empathy. And then for metal, we have grief. Yet for each of those, as I mentioned, they have what we refer to as the prenatal or congenital. It's what we came into this world with that emotion versus after we've been born, the postnatal or acquired emotion, because we learned it in society, we learned it in our family. And so that's sometimes one of the ones that we want to differentiate. And when it's wood, and because a lot of people get stuck in this idea of anger and anger is inappropriate. Chinese medicine, all of the emotions are appropriate. Mm-hmm. Anger, though, sometimes is viewed so negatively that we can't see what is the benefit of it. And in our perspective, anger provides us with a boundary. And if someone actually crosses that boundary, that's where anger steps in. And it's, this is my line. You crossed over my line. Now I have to voice my concern from that perspective. Mm-hmm. Another good visual there is the little piece of grass that comes up through the concrete. They're not going to be pushed down, but they still know, like, this is the direction I'm going through, and that's not going to hold me down. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea of anger. Yet on the other side, that's really kindness and courage. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to get through that cement if you're that blade of grass. Mm-hmm. And the other side of fear is wisdom. You know, when you don't have anything but the dark and the unknown, knowing that it will be all okay, that knowledge, that inner knowledge, that inner wisdom versus being afraid. And for the fire element, we have sadness. That other side of happiness or peace or joy. And earth people can be so thoughtful, have such good intentions and thoughtfulness. And on the other side, there can be this idea of sympathy. And sympathy, one of the ways to view that is more of this aspect where they need to be the center of attention, similar to how the earth can be sort of viewed oppositely. We thought the earth was the center of our universe. And so that's the same idea with that translation of sympathy. And metal, the prenatal or the congenital, is this integrity. And again, it's this line of respect. This is who I am, and I hold my own versus that is your stuff, and you hold that. And then the other side of that is the grief.
Can you explain the difference between the prenatal and congenital? Because you described it, but I'm wondering the switch around what age does that happen and whatnot?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question, because one of the things that we see, and one of the reasons why we say that we tend to hang out in our primary or those three major elements, is because either while we were in utero or when we are a young child, probably around the age of six, some event happens in our lives and it triggers this initial response. And then that response get solidified so that any item that happens, any event that happens after that point, we go back to that initial response if we didn't either process through it or if it was, as I said, a taught emotional response. You know, did we hurt ourselves? And what we got out of it was everyone came to us. For example, if we developed into that earth element and we became the center of attention, you know, we received all of the attention, even if it was just, I just fell down and scratched myself. But there was that solidifying of a need that may have gone to an excessive level.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering with each emotion, so is it essentially you come in with the main emotion and then the opposite response is what we can learn from trauma?
In many ways, yes. Okay. And so when we come into the world either with that emotion or with that life pattern, one of the best ways to look at it is, what is the life lesson that we are meant to process? And usually with each of those life lessons, there is an emotion that's attached to it. As we learn more and process more of that lesson, mm-hmm. then we tend to stay more in the prenatal side of that emotion, versus if we are struggling with that life lesson and we just keep on kind of hitting the same block every single time, then we repeat the acquired emotion related to that life lesson.
Okay, that makes sense. And what if someone's listening and they hear that they're a particular element and they're like, well, this sounds negative. I don't want to be grief or whatever it is. What would you say to them?
So first off, we have all the emotions. And in Chinese medicine, emotions are appropriate. We're meant to experience all of them. Unfortunately, society deems certain emotions okay and other ones not okay. And so a lot of the times when we think of, say, grief, that that's not an appropriate one, or being afraid, or, you know, worrying too much, or being sad, those are all appropriate. And if we try to force ourselves to not experience those emotions, we can actually make ourselves sicker. And on top of it, it may take longer for us to let those things go, versus if we just experience it, feel it, and let it be processed through the body, then we tend to let it go more easily. And again, these are the translations. And so there's more of this beautiful resonance about who I am as a person. And if we take it more from the side of, I'm going to gain more understanding about myself, and maybe if I'm honest with myself, I can actually see some of those, what we would call negative attributes. And they're neither negative nor positive from our medicine's perspective. Unfortunately, society tends to deem them that way, though.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. When you were saying that, I was just thinking about within my personal development as a human, whenever I would be hurt by someone or something, my initial response would be anger. And I would, because I want to just, you know, look how powerful I am and look how in control I am. But really behind that, for me at least, not for everybody, was always sadness as a fire person, right?
And, yes.
And so what I've learned, like in the last few years, going through my own process and spiritual awakening, was when I have that inclination to anger, and there's exceptions because there are boundary issues that maybe don't make me sad. But now instead, I actually shift to, okay, where is it really hurting within me? And a lot of the times I just let myself cry and then I feel much better. And like even with the world events now, some things that are going on when it comes to the innocence in the world being really corrupted and used, I would be so angry and I want to like fight for justice and, you know, things like that. And then I have to get to the root of why am I so angry? And then when you sit and I would meditate and the real emotion comes through and I'm just crying, it's like it immediately I feel released off my chest in a way. And so can you speak to, because you were saying this briefly, really the psychosomatic connection between emotions and our physical health? Because I know in Chinese medicine that they're connected to organs and particular parts of the body. But if you can speak about that connection between storing the emotions versus releasing them and how it can affect us in that way, because this is something that not everybody really believes. You know, it's a huge part of Eastern medicine and it's a huge part of a lot of the New Age belief system, but not everybody believes it. So if you can just elaborate on that.
Absolutely. So each of the elements have organs that they are associated with. And we would say that the yin organ versus the yang organ is the one that holds the emotion. And so just a quick explanation of what yin and yang is. So yin are organs that even physically will hold on to things. So an example is the heart. It's filled with the blood. The liver also is filled with the blood in a little bit of a different way. We have the lungs are filled with air and oxygen. And then comparatively, we have organs that are more yang in nature. And the easiest way to view these are they are pass-through organs. So the majority of them are related to the digestive system. So we have our stomach, our large intestine, our small intestine, bladder. These pass through what we've taken into the body. They don't tend to actually hold things. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, the yin organs, they actually hold the emotions. They also hold what we call the five spirits. And it's easier for them, unfortunately, because they have this resonance of naturally holding onto things. We can even hold onto those emotions or excesses that potentially happen in the body. Versus we tend to see with the yang organs, because they naturally have more of this pass through and let things go. And even on a physical perspective, that's why sometimes people have issues with their digestion and constipation. Mm. We don't always even physically let things go. So sometimes that can even happen on an emotional level, even for those organs. So when we talk about the actual elements and each of those organ systems that they relate, we have water, and water holds the bladder and the kidneys. Now, when we then go a little bit deeper and talk about the kidneys itself, the kidneys hold our destiny, is what we would say in Chinese medicine. It's our will, our drive, what actually makes us move forward, what drives us to live our path, all of these wonderful things that it's like the depths of who we are, it's the blueprint. Like it's somewhere deep in there. And if you're lucky, you find that purpose so that it actually can come out and express it. And so for people that have issues in finding their purpose or finding that sense of security, because we also see that the water element and these organs relate to resources, financial resources. Water is a resource. Mm-hmm. And so if we have enough of that stability resource-wise, and we have the sense of purpose of what am I supposed to do? What's that path in life that gives me this drive and that sense of I'm here doing the work I'm supposed to do? Then we can actually see this life lesson move a little bit more easily. And so we call that spirit that lives in the kidneys, Zhur. And so Zhur is that will, is that wisdom, all of those prenatal relationships and prenatal attributes that we talked about. That spirit, that soul that lives in our kidneys houses that. And unfortunately, if the kidneys and that spirit aren't doing very well, it's interesting. We can see people that have UTI infections, kidney infections, low back pain, issues with the bones, and all of these are associations and relationships to the water element and those organs themselves. Mm-hmm. So that covers water. Now, if we go into, I know there's a lot for each of them. And that's the beautiful thing about this medicine. Sort of when you start to get into one tiny little subject, that tiny little subject can mm-hmm. expand and expand and expand mm-hmm. depending upon how deeply we want to go. And mm-hmm. so when we look at that, that can give us information. Do I want to know just a tiny little snippet about myself, how I can improve my health, how I can actually be the true person I was meant to be? We can either just scratch the surface or we can go all the way down and go mm-hmm. really deep to see how much we can understand ourselves and allow that to change and help us to grow. And help us to always grow. Everything is always changing in Chinese medicine, and that is a beautiful thing. Sometimes we don't always like the idea of change, yet it's always going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
And actually, so it's interesting getting to change. The wood element is the one that is meant to help us to move. And so we have the gallbladder and the liver as the organs associated with the wood element. Now, the liver holds the spirit we call Hun. And the Hun is also known as our ethereal spirit or our ethereal soul. So when we sleep, the Hun leaves the body and goes back to what we describe as the Tao, the universe, the spiritual heavens. All of those words mean the exact same thing. So whatever word associates more to your belief system, that's where we would go. And so while we sleep, our Hun reconnects with the divine, and it gives us this vision of, well, this is where I am right now, yet this is where I should go. And so in many ways, there's this strong connection between the water of, okay, this is my path, this is my purpose, yet it's the Hun, that spirit, that helps us to see, okay, if I'm at point A, yet I have to get to point B, how do I get there? And so when we wake up in the mornings, we usually have those answers. That's usually why people will say, oh, let me sleep on it. Mm-hmm. And it's truly the case. If we put that intention into our subconscious right before we go to bed, then it gives our Hun that ability to get those divine answers so that when we do wake up in the morning, we know, all right, well, this is where I go. Now, one of the keys with going to bed to allow that to happen for the Hun, though, we have to go to bed before 11 o'clock at night. This is really important as that's the time when the liver and the gallbladder and the wood element are strongest. And so that's when the Hun will then be able to connect with the divine and get those messages. If we do not go to bed before 11 p.m., then unfortunately, we usually get that second wind. And it's the second wind that we're getting because instead of the Hun reconnecting with the divine, with the Tao, it's giving that energy into the body to give us an extra little charge. So we want to make sure that we don't get that charge, that the Hun gets that charge so that it can get our answers. Or otherwise, a lot of times we can feel we have all these questions and no answers, or we have all these ideas yet no creativity to bring them to life. And we need that ability to bring those things to life and to fruition. And as it turns out, it's fire that helps us to bring those things to fruition. Now, interestingly enough, so far as we've gone through the elements, there were two organs associated with each element. Fire, though, actually has four. And there's a few reasons as to why this is the case, yet the fire element contains our heart. And our heart in Chinese medicine is viewed as our emperor or our empress. And the heart is meant to rule the body, rule all of those other organs and everything that happens. And even as it turns out, it's the heart that holds the next spirit that we'll eventually talk about. So as a result, there's this even more importance related to the heart. Now, that doesn't mean that all the other elements are any less important, yet when we talk about the organ themselves, the heart is always given this extra respect. We want to be mindful of how kind we are to our heart. if we open our heart, and sometimes we have to be mindful if we are opening it too much to people that we shouldn't. Are we letting things, thoughts, emotions, injuries hurt our emperor or our empress? And setting ourselves up for that trauma, like you spoke of earlier. And so we want to always be respectful of the heart. And so the heart has three other parts that in many ways help to protect it in the fire element. And in many ways, that's why there are these other, we call them ministers, or other organs to help support the heart. And so we have the small intestine, we have the pericardium, and what we describe as the triple heater. So the pericardium, first off, is the organ that envelops the heart. So if you think of the heart as the actual organ itself, the pericardium literally surrounds it or enwraps the heart. So this physical protection, and there's also an emotional level of protection that the pericardium gives to the heart, so that the pericardium is meant to process those emotions. Yet unfortunately, sometimes the pericardium will get injured, and it gets fatigued, getting routinely injured, and then it will allow those injuries to harm our heart. So we have the pericardium, and then we also have the triple heater. Now, the triple heater, the best way to describe this organ system is it relates to water and temperature metabolism. So how warm our body is. Think of fire that way. You know, are we super hot or are we really cold and we don't have enough warm? And that even corresponds to, are we like the cold shoulder to other people? Or are we super inviting, the best hostess that we possibly can be, and sharing that warmth with everyone, even people that we don't even know? And so there's this idea in many ways where the triple heater is this relationship level with acquaintances, mm-hmm. and say friends, yeah, friends on our outer circle. And then the pericardium are our friends, our loved ones, the ones in our inner circle of the heart. And then the small intestine is actually paired with the heart. And so they're actually in many ways viewed as brother and sister relationships or husband and wife relationships. And so we have this dynamic between the heart being yin and the small intestine being yang, yet at the same time, we have the pericardium that's yin and the triple heater that's yang. So there's this additional dynamic that the other elements do not have, and in many ways it gets back to the heart being our emperor or our empress. And so the spirit that lives in the heart is called Shen. And interestingly enough, Shen is translated as spirit. It also has another translation as mind. And so think of thinking with our heart instead of thinking with our brain. And this other idea we have where we'll refer to the Shen that's in our heart as Shen with a lowercase s versus the Shen or spirit that's part of the universe that has an uppercase s. So the Shen in our heart is the lowercase or small Shen, and the big Shen, that of the universe, that of the Tao, that is the big Shen. And so it's through the heart that we come home. Who am I? I know who I am in my heart. And there's this peace that comes from knowing who we are at such a deep level. So that is actually truly what gives us this joy. Everything that is in my life is how it's supposed to be, and I'm at peace with that, regardless of what comes up, because I know who I am, and there is such a beauty to that. And as we move through from that ability to be in our heart and have that sense of who I am, it's the earth element that houses our stomach and our spleen. And it's in the spleen that we have what is referred to as yi. And yi is this thoughtfulness, this thought intention. What is the intention that we have in our mind? And so there's this idea also of applied thinking, that when we learn, so even right now, we are using our yi as we take in more information and we take it in, we chew on it, we swallow it, and then we process it and we let go of what doesn't serve us, but we hold on to what nurtures us. And that's the earth element. That's our yi. And that's that whole idea of we will always have this opportunity of being exposed to different pieces of information, different experiences, but it's our earth that takes us back to this sense of grounding, nurturing, and balance. And what nurtures us, that's what we have to hold on to. Yet when we need to let go of the other stuff, that brings us to the metal element. And fittingly, with the large intestine and the lungs. And in our lungs, we house our Po. It's also known as the corporeal spirit. And the idea of Po is we need to survive. We need these fundamental items in our life to survive. And the very first one and the very last one will be breath. We can go without a while without food. We can go without a while without water. We can even go a while without connection to our community and other people. Yet, we can go even less time without breath. And it's our breath that also gives us this inspiration. Inspiration on a divine level, whether it's through a meditative practice, a spiritual practice. In many ways, it's sort of like what helps us to catch our breath. That is what the Po will bring us. When we find that spiritual practice that resonates with our Po, we tend to always be practicing it. It's one of those things where there's never this separation between I'm on my mat, so to speak, or I'm on my meditation cushion or any other spiritual practice versus I'm just in it always. Because in many ways, we are living naturally through life. We're living a part of it. The survival aspect becomes less of a sense of fight and flight, like, do I have enough? It's more of this, I am living my life the most natural I can with the laws of nature instead of without or against the laws of nature. And that allows me to live and to survive. Unfortunately, when we go against the laws of nature, whether we eat out of the seasons or we tend to live excessively in one of the elements, we tend to then create these imbalances versus when we naturally move through the elements, we naturally move through the seasons, naturally move through the laws of nature where As a child, we have more energy. As a young adult, mm-hmm. our relationships and our responsibilities change. And then there's this process where then we eventually get older and we're meant to slow down. You know, even living in those simple changes of laws of nature, what we do as a 20-year-old may not be appropriate for someone that is in their 60s. And so it's even listening to those natural laws. Are we asleep when the moon is out? Or are we awake when the moon is out? Do we listen to those rhythms of life and naturally sync with them? Or do we fight them?
Yeah, this is so fascinating. Thank you. That was a phenomenal explanation of all of the emotions and everything. I feel like I want to listen to this again. But so it got me thinking a lot about, well, obviously with quarantine, like I talk about all the time, living in a city versus living by nature. But then it's compounded with this whole now stay in your apartment thing. So we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but can you talk a little bit about, through this lens of Chinese medicine and what we're speaking of, what you really see going on in the world right now with everything that's happening?
Yes, unfortunately, with everything that's going on right now, and it can apply to what's going on right now, any life stressor can do this. And this is the beautiful thing about this medicine. Whatever the stressor is, we can see these things come and go. We can see these things process in many ways exactly the same. So when we are in these places of elements and emotions and organs in distress, we can see that we're actually going through places where we're water. We are constantly in a fight and flight response. We are stuck in the sympathetic nervous system. And as I mentioned before, we have all five of them. So right now, in many ways, we're going through all of the elements excessively and getting stuck in so many of them. So we'll get in this place where water is just fearful and anxious. Or we can find that other side, as I mentioned, where there's no fear whatsoever. You know, I won't get sick. Nothing will happen to me. Everything. And so it's sort of like water can have these blinders where we have no fear and we see everything as perfect. Or we can be the opposite. And the blinders that are on, we only see that state of mm-hmm. fear and that state of being scared. And in many ways, if we kind of apply it to all of them, they get stuck in their blinders and they either go one way or another, where you can have, as a wood element, you can be so angry and so mistrusting and judgmental. Or on the other side, even as you mentioned, Kat, like when you see injustices in the world where you actually want to speak up, do something about it. And when wood is in balance, now that's balanced, not imbalanced, we refer to the wood as the non-judgmental judge. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about that, the idea is, if these are the laws of nature, or these are the laws of society, everyone is viewed equally without judgment. That is what wood is supposed to do. That is what we're meant to do. That's when a lot of people will actually speak up for other people. That is the true aspect of wood. Yet unfortunately, we can go excessive either way, where we just become angry without a purpose, without a vision, without an action plan. How can we make it better? And so really, anger is meant to drive us into creating change. And if it just drives us into getting stuck in the anger, getting stuck in the frustration, getting stuck where we see no hope. Everything is just dark. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Then we can get to this place of actual depression. And unfortunately, people are going through that. Being in our environments and stuck in our environments, it can feel like there's no hope. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. This will never end. We can apply that to everything, regardless of what the situation is. If we get stuck in one of those places, we will say, we'll feel like this is how it is, and this is always how it's going to be. And again, yet everything is always changing. That doesn't mean that it may get worse before it gets better, yet it still has to move. Nothing stays the same. Everything has to change and evolve. And as it evolves, we can either find that place of, unfortunately, that depression, or we can be that righteous judge. That's another way to actually describe it. From that non-judgmental judge to the righteous judge. The judge that actually speaks up for those that cannot speak for themselves. And so that actually gives us something to strive for. Can we, even when we're in this place where we are right now, we have the ability, because we have all of these elements in us, can we just do a little thing, a little shift? I can remember, and this is just a tiny shift, having a client that would be stuck in that anger. And it just took a friend of theirs to actually come over and help them clean their kitchen. It was just a tiny little kindness, and it helped everything else that was making them angry in their life. They saw that someone could still be kind to them, even when they were in a place of anger and frustration. And so next time you're, out walking safely, or you're going into a store, can you do something kind for someone else? If you are driving in your cars, can we, let the person that wants to get in front of us in the lane, let them be kind, or allow them to get in behind you. It's the little kindnesses that help us to even shift that anger. And the same holds true. These little kindnesses that support the wood, in many ways, because anger tends to be, even as you mentioned, one of those mechanisms mm-hmm. that we, regardless of what the situation, regardless what's going on with our elements, a lot of times we may go to anger first with a situation. And so in those occurrences, can we be kind to ourselves first? And can we be kind to someone else to allow that cycle to shift a little bit? And if we then take that same idea to fire, so fire, because we have the emperor or empress in our heart, and the heart is meant to be a ruler that's hands off. Let the kingdom rule itself. I will be here connected with the divine. And as long as I am connected with the divine, it will all come as it's supposed to be. Because I know that the divine is taking care of everything. It may not be taking care of the things in the order that I want them to, yet it is taking care of things as they're supposed to be. And unfortunately, when our heart, our small shen, loses that connection with the big shen, with the universe, the divine, then our heart and her fire element tends to control and even over control, even down to the tiniest little thing. And so we can come this place of where we're really sad and to compartmentalize the sadness and the situation. We control everything that we can control, even when it hurts ourselves. And so this is one of the things that we're seeing nowadays, unfortunately, where there has been abuse in relationships, abuse in how we verbally speak to each other, how we are physically interacting with each other, because we're trying to control what we can control, because we cannot control everything else that's happening in the world. And one of the things that is really helpful for the heart is to see if we can just let go of the control. Instead of trying to over control, let it go. If it's somebody else's responsibility to do whatever the item is, let them be responsible for it. You know, if you have a partner and they have a responsibility to do, let them do it. You don't have to control. You don't have to be responsible for everything. If you have a child who's responsible for certain things and they're not doing them, that doesn't mean that our fire and our heart and our spirit, our Shen, needs to over-control everybody else's stuff. So let us only be responsible for ourselves. And so in Chinese medicine, we will say, we're responsible for ourselves. We're responsible for our own health. Everyone else is responsible for their own self, for their own stuff, and for their own health. And there's this balance between it. Because heart, we want that heart-to-heart connection. Yet we need to remember the only way to have heart-to-heart connection is if our individual heart is full of the divine. So then we can have a heart-to-heart connection with someone else. We come from a place of being full and 100%. And the other person comes from a place of being full and 100%. And they get the opportunity to have their own choices, and we get the opportunity to have our own choices. That's your right, and that's your responsibility, and that's my right, and that's my responsibility. And so in many ways, it's being respectful. And so another word that we use a lot of times in Chinese medicine to describe the heart and the Shen is propriety. What's appropriate? Is it appropriate that I walk all over someone to get something done that was really their responsibility? From our side, no. It's their responsibility to get it done. It may not get done the way you want it to get done, or on the time frame that you want it to get done. Yet if it's their responsibility, they are the ones that have to do it. So that sense of appropriateness. And even when it comes to that sense of appropriateness, and that's where we see this also with Earth. So Earth in distress can have this, lack of better way to describe it, this martyr view of themselves. And that's where it gets back to this idea of being the center, that self-centeredness and this neediness. Like, it's all about me. I have no abundance, and so I'm going to try to grab all of your abundance, all of your energy, everything from you to make me feel more full, more grounded, more balanced, more nurtured. And so when we actually go through this process, a lot of times Earth people will use food and either over-nurture themselves with food and overeat, or under-nurture themselves and not actually have an appetite. Or even if they have an appetite, we tend to go through what's referred to as a lazy appetite. I'm hungry and I can't think of anything that I want to eat, so I just grab what is quick and easy. It may not be the most nutritious, yet I don't have to think about it. And then I can actually say I ate something. And unfortunately, that doesn't give us this sense of abundance, this sense of filling myself. Instead, we can actually feel like we've overeaten and we didn't get anything out of what we ate. Sort of like we can have a craving for something and yet never feel satiated, never feel fulfilled. And we can even have this same aspect with thoughts and ideas and education, you know, constantly Googling and searching and trying to get all the information that we can on a topic, and yet at the same time still feeling like, well, that didn't actually fulfill what I wanted to learn. I still need more. And so that gets us to this place of, with metal, this sense of feeling worthless. Like, there's nothing good out there. Actually, everything, sorry to say it, everything is shit. And so we look at these views where there's no value. Everything is imperfect. That perfection that we strive for with the divine and our connection with our spiritual practice, even that can feel like, ugh, I've lost my connection. I've lost my desire to have a spiritual practice. And even when I do my spiritual practice, I don't feel fulfilled. There is no sense of integrity and respect. It's just this idea of either everything looks horrible out into the world and there's nothing good out there, or I can't let anything go. You know, it's this idea of emotional constipation, where we are holding on to things physically, we are holding on to things emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and that's the opposite of that metal. We're meant to survive by going through with the natural laws of nature. Things are going to happen in life where we will deem them imperfect. Yet we are perfectly imperfect individuals. And so if we can remember that, that there is still perfection. Divine is perfection. And we have divine within us. So we are still perfect, imperfectly. Yet if we hold on to all of the negative, then it's easier not to let it go, not to see the one breath that actually gives us that sense of relief. I let it go, and now I can take in something new because I emptied my breath. I let it all go, and I can then now take in something that's good for me.
Yes, that was so accurate. So for people that are listening and they're like, wow, I see myself in a lot of what she's saying, and I see myself going through what I now see as an imbalance in this capacity with what she's saying, what are some nourishing ways that people can work towards finding more balance with these elements?
One of the easiest ways to actually help define balance with the elements is the foods that we incorporate. So each of the elements and each of the organs have a resonance, and each of the different foods and fluids have a resonance also. And a lot of times when there is an imbalance in the element, if we give that same resonance to ourselves, it'll help in that balancing. So as an example, when we talk about water, we talked about how there's a relationship with the bladder and the kidneys. Well, if you eat foods that look like the shape of the kidneys, it has that same resonance. It will actually go to that element. It'll go to those organs, and it'll go to that spirit. So think of beans and seeds and nuts for the water element. When we think of wood, think of green leafy things. You know, we talked about that blade of grass that actually comes up through the cement. So we're talking about dark leafy vegetables. When we are thinking of the fire element, we talked about the heart, and the heart is filled with blood. So we would incorporate foods that actually look like blood, whether that's beets or berries. From the earth element, we not only think of root vegetables that are actually coming up out of the ground, yet we're also more associated with those root vegetables that are yellow and orange in color. So squash, sweet potatoes, pumpkin, they are heavy and grounding and nurturing, and a lot of them are round like the earth at the same time. And then pears, one of the beautiful ones to actually incorporate is a pear. And similarly, the shape of a pear is very similar to the shape of the lungs, yet the lung tissue itself is very delicate, and so is a pear. It's got that very sensitive, it'll bruise easily if there's a lot of moisture to them. And the lungs themselves need moisture. If our lungs are dry, then we tend to have like a dry cough or a dry throat. And so the pears actually bathe the lungs in that moisture at the same time. So that would cover, you know, some of the foods. And food is usually one of the easiest ones. Now, if we want to work on lifestyle items, that would be the next one to incorporate. And so from a water perspective, hanging out by a body of water, if you have access to walk around a lake or go for a walk by the beach, any of those can actually nurture that water element. If, unfortunately, you're in your home and you have access to taking a bath, take a bath. You know, you want to make it even a little bit more potent, put some salt in it, whether it's Epsom salt or Himalayan salt. Salt also relates to the water element. So we're creating an even deeper resonance. And even from that perspective, hydrate really well. When we hydrate well, besides, you know, those foods that look like the kidneys, hydrating well actually supports the water element from the inside out. We talked a little bit from that wood perspective, where one of the most critical items is to go to bed before 11 p.m. so that our hun has an opportunity to reconnect with the divine, get those divine messages so that when we wake up in the morning, we know what we need to do. And at the same time, we talked about how wood likes movement. It likes change. It's that motion forward. So walking, any type of exercise that actually feels afterwards, whew, I feel so much better. I can feel everything got moved out of my body. I'm not holding those emotions like I was. I'm not holding that tension and tightness in my jaw or my shoulders and neck. Everything just feels a little bit lighter. We have a little bit more hope. We see a little bit more of that light at the end of the tunnel. Then when we get to fire, fire really needs that heart-to-heart connection. And so if we have an opportunity, even if we are in our homes and we're not with our friends and family, have a meal with friends and family virtually, you know, place a phone call, talk to a friend that you haven't spoken to in years, have a good laugh with them. You know, we want to have this sense of connection and sharing and stories. Think of what it would have been like sharing stories around a campfire. That's the idea of fire, when we need to nurture that. And so even when we may not be able to hold a person's hand or shake their hand or even give a hug, we can give a hug to ourselves. You know, we can hold our own hands, even rubbing the palms together and holding those hands, creating that warmth there and placing it over the heart so that we still feel that heart connection. It's interesting, in Western medicine, when someone has procedures on the heart, they usually give them a pillow that's in the shape of a heart, and it's red, and it's meant to be placed over their sternum so that if they have to cough or if they're doing anything, it gives a little massage to the heart. It gives that little sense of, it's okay. You know, I recognize who you are in there, and I know that you may be injured right now, yet we're going to be kind to you. So when we talk about some of those things that then can help earth, share your abundance that you may have with your community, whether that's food and having that shared with any food banks, if you know someone in your neighborhood that's struggling, and maybe it's not from a food perspective, but know that you have something that they may not, and you can offer it up and help them, share that with them. Whatever your abundance is, and offer it to your community. You know, with everything that's been going on, there's been so many yoga teachers that have offered free Zoom classes and things that people can offer up to help someone that may be struggling. There's even practitioners out there that are saying, I'm offering a class and you pay me what you can. There's still that sense of, I have something and I can share the abundance that I have. It's this idea of, when we give, we receive. And so the more that we take care of ourselves first, so that we have that abundance, so that we can then share. If we just hoard and hold and maintain, then we're not actually sharing with those that are needy. We're putting ourselves as that most in need, and that may not be appropriate. And when it comes to the metal element, metal, there is a relationship not just with the lungs and the large intestine, yet we view the skin as our third lung. So practices where we're actually doing things to the skin, whether it's dry brushing, gua sha, even a jade roller on the face, anything that actually gives a little bit of movement, exfoliation to the skin. Because if you think about it, all of those practices are meant to detox. So if we help to detox the physical skin, then we can help the lungs and the large intestine detox, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually too. And then the one that tends to be most needed, yet also one of the hardest practices, is that, what are the emotional needs of the elements? So we talked about how water, and because we all have all of these, we can all use them regardless of what the situation is, whatever comes up emotionally, yet we know how we can get those needs met emotionally too then. So water goes into this place of fear and anxiousness. They need reassurance. The beauty and one of the gifts of water is that wisdom. Yet that wisdom comes from deeply listening. And so if you imagine that when someone is in a place of fear, imagine that the two of you are at the bottom of the ocean together, yet you're both rocks. So it's okay that it's dark, It's okay that you're at the bottom of the ocean. It's okay that you're not at the top. If you just sit and be deep down at the bottom of the ocean with two people, that may be all they need. You don't have to fix anything for them. They just need someone to be down in the deep where they are and be with them. And in many ways, if we apply that to every emotion and every element, if we can just find that place of rapport and connection and understand, hey, I've been where you've been before. We're all human. We are all part of that same universe. So more than likely, I've been where you have. And so if we can remember that and just sit with them, we don't have to fix it. We don't have to intentionally give them anything. If we mirror where they are, sometimes that's all a person actually needs. And if you want to take it just a little bit further, though, if we give reassurance to people that are fearful, and that reassurance doesn't actually mean that you tell them what they're experiencing or what they're feeling isn't appropriate. You know, if someone says, I'm afraid of whatever, you don't say, you don't need to be afraid of that. It's more like, okay, so why are you afraid of that? What does that feel like in your body? Can you tell me more about it? You are there helping them to process and reassure them that, one, that's appropriate, even if you may not have that same fear. And the same holds true. If we're in a place of fear, see if you can be a rock at the bottom of the ocean and sit with that. Sit with this stillness. And the idea of being a rock at the bottom of the ocean is that if we go down to the depth, it's easier then to find our grounding, find our stability, find those resources, and push all the way up to the top of the ocean. Versus if we are trying to lift our head up over the waves, at some point we're going to get exhausted and we're going to get what feels like being sucked down, drown. So instead of drowning, submit to feel the depth. And then when you felt like, I felt the depth, I felt all the way down, the black, the darkness, I didn't run from it, then I can push myself up to the top. I can use my will to drive myself up. But we have to sink down to then be able to push ourselves up. And it's when it comes to that wood element, though, in many ways, we are that blade of grass. We want that sense of freedom. And so if we are in a place where, whether it's in our homes, in our jobs, in our life, in our relationships, in anything that's going on that we found or feel, sorry, stuck in a box, and we do not have that ability to escape, be free to do what our choice is, what our vision is. When we get to try to get to point A and point B, like we said before, if we can't do that, we need to find a way to actually see the hope in things, see that it's not being in that space of total darkness. You can see trees on the side of highways that will actually maneuver and curve themselves because they're still going up to the sky. And that is our wood. So find the way. find the creativity to pivot. And if we're in a state of anger, or someone else is in a state of anger, there's this fine line where be pissed off with them, where you don't have to be angry with the situation. But in many ways, angry people, they want this sense of like, well, somebody else is here fighting with me. Like, fight the good fight and know that you're not going to back away from them. That's really what people that have a strong wood element and in that state of wood anger is, they want someone that's going to stand next to them, that is going to toe the line with them. Not that they are the only one fighting that good fight, that they're the only ones that's being that righteous judge, that non-judgmental judge. And so even if it's not your fight, it's this idea of, well, I can still understand that this is what you want to fight for, so go at it. Your anger and that you want to fight for this is not going to push me away from you. Instead, it's going to help us to see if we can find that creativity. See, maybe I can help give you a little direction how to get to B from A. That's what they want. Usually when we have a plan, then even if we haven't done anything for the plan, we feel like we've gotten something accomplished. And that sense of anger, that sense of like, oh, my boundary was crossed, but now I have a plan if that happens again, or what I'm going to do to ensure that it doesn't. And for our beloved fire, for our beloved emperor, we want to try to encourage those heart-to-heart connections. One of the easiest ways is talking to each other and not planning, what am I going to say next? I am here. I am present. I have my heart open. I have my ears open. And I am listening, waiting for what you are going to say. And it's not until you're done that then I'm going to share what that reminds me of. And so think of it as a tennis match. You cannot hit the ball of that conversation until it's right in front of you. You can be prepared. Which way do I sort of have to go so that I can listen fully with that presence? Otherwise, the ball is just going to go by me. And so we want to have our heart open, our ears open, so that we are connected and listening to our heart, listening to the heart more than listening to the mind. And know that when we share from that perspective, so see if you can actually, even if it's to your own self, talk yourself through it. If I was going to talk myself through sadness, then you can see, just like a tennis match, this is the situation. Like you even said, Kat, you have that opportunity to step back and be present. Whether it's present, like you have to be in a tennis match, present to see what's going to come up in the heart, or present when you're talking to someone else. And maybe even not talking, but your heart is open and receptive, regardless of what they're going to say. Remembering that they're responsible for their self, their true health, and we are responsible for ourself and our true health. And so sometimes the best thing that we can do is do nothing. Let them take control of their own things, which then allows us to also do that for ourselves. If we can be in our heart and be present, the divine will take care of it. We have to let go of the reins. And so that's one of the easiest ones. It's a nice little mantra for fire constitutions and for fire elements. Can you just let go of the reins more? And once you let go, can you let go a little bit more? So that it's not even, we're not holding the reins. It's as if there are no reins. We're just where we are in the present moment. And then the next moment, because it's the next heartbeat, will be the next thing. And so if I can just be present in each heartbeat, then I can be present in each breath, and I can be present in each experience. And I don't have to control. I don't even have to over control. And even in that helps to lift the sadness. And if it doesn't lift the sadness, then that's when connecting with friends and laughing. Laughing is such good medicine for the heart. And so it's laughing at ourselves, kindly laughing at other people when it's actually part of a joke, or finding things that make us laugh. Whether it's movies or shows, we need that uplifting to the heart. And a good cry always is good medicine too. It's just the other side of that laughter. Sometimes we cry because we're laughing, and we laugh because we're crying. Two sides of the same coin, going right back to that heart. And then as we move to those emotional needs of the earth element, here is where that idea of sympathy really comes in. Earth people just want a shoulder to cry on, or someone to hear them. It's this idea of, I can give you a hug virtually, energetically. I am there for you. I am the earth underneath you. I am there to help give you this sense of center. And that's all it is when you have a hug given, that you hug last, and you let them let go first because they don't need it anymore. And when we cannot give a hug, whether it's this idea of, well, how can I help nurture them? Is it, I just let them share and vent, even if it feels like they're cycling and saying the exact same thing, which the earth, it spins on several rotations. That's why we have day and night and an entire year. So earth people just need someone to let them cycle and spin and say the things that they have to, because in many ways they are processing, like we talked about before, they're chewing on something and they need to chew on it. And sometimes they need to chew on it uninterrupted. And so the more we can just let them chew and then let them figure out, oh, this is what actually nurtured me. This is what I have to do and process, and the other stuff, I'm just going to let go. So we need to let those earth people. And sometimes when we interrupt them, we interrupt their process. And so they have to start all over again. So the easiest thing is just to give that sense of sympathy, that sense of empathy. Let them verbally process through whatever needs to be expressed. And then that allows them to actually do the same for others. So if we are cycling and processing, sometimes the only thing that we can do is talk it out, write it out. Whatever your way to process is, because some people will process verbally, some people will actually process from a tactile perspective, find what processing and learning mode works for you and use that to let the processing happen. And chew on it for as long as you need to chew on. And then the other stuff, let it go. And that brings us to our metal element. And so with the metal, because of this sense of grief and loss, we also crave respect. Respect that something that was dear to us is now gone. And we can all understand that. We've all either lost loved ones or, and it doesn't even need to be a loved one. It can actually be a situation that we were in. Yet it's still a loss. So this idea of respect. Now, think of any time you may have gone to, whether it's a sacred place. There's this quiet, respectful sense, whether it's in a church, at a cemetery, any type of spiritual place, we automatically get quiet and we can just sit with the person. Now, it's sitting with the person. It's a little bit different than, you know, the sitting with the people that we've talked about. Water is down deep. Wood wants to get up to the sun and the sky. Fire wants that back and forth. And earth wants to cycle. Here, the respect with metal is that silence out of respect, where there is this holding of the breath a little bit, because I don't even want to disturb if they're crying, because it's not my place. And if we are in a place of them crying and weeping it out, then we naturally will rub someone's back or say, shh, comfort them. And we can do this even silently. It's in many ways imagining that we are in that sacred place, because what they're going through to them is sacred. So we want to be respectful. Just like we want to receive respect, we also need to remember to give it. And it doesn't matter what the item is that felt like it was lost. In many ways, as we're going through this process, we can even feel like we have lost ourselves as we grow as a person, as we grow in our spirituality. And so remembering that as we shed and let go of things that don't serve us, we are respectful of even ourselves. And when we respect ourselves and that sense of there's still perfection, I did not lose the perfection. I may have lost something, but the perfection is still within me. The divine is still within me. And ultimately, that's why we respect each other. We recognize that you are divine. I am divine. And my divinity does not take away from your divinity. Instead, I recognize that our divinity is exactly the same. And so it creates that sense of sacredness.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much. I think this will be so helpful for so many people listening. So I know that now, since everything has changed in the world, you work virtually, and which is, yeah, which can be, it was a big shift probably from having your own practice. So how can people find you and reach you and work with you? Because for me, when I worked with you over the years, and we're apart, you know, I'm in New York and you're in Florida and we've worked it out. So how can people reach you and find you?
One of the easiest ways to find me is through my website, and that is lotuscenterofhealing.com. Now, interestingly enough, before everything that happened in the world with COVID, I was actually, as you even mentioned, Kat, I was offering telehealth sessions or virtual sessions beforehand. And now this actually just transitioned it to incorporate even more of those. And at the same time, I have my physical practice in Jacksonville Beach, Florida. I also have my practice that's through telehealth and online. And then there's a few other offerings that are in the works. My wood element is working on those creativity items, and they're fruits that will eventually come to bear. I have two books that are actually in the process. One is for other holistic practitioners, also anyone that owns their own business. And so bringing together, as I mentioned, I was a CPA and still am a CPA. And so merging the blend of my CPA and business background with also being a holistic practitioner. Unfortunately, many areas, including yoga, we learn how to do that service, yet we don't always learn how to be a business owner. And so it's actually helping from that perspective. There will also be a course and using the elements to see how we can improve not just ourselves, yet also improve our business self and our business practice. The other book is actually for practitioners, yet also people that may not know everything about Chinese medicine, if they want to apply it to their everyday life. And so we cover things like we've covered today, where we went through the five elements, which is just one of the many theories in Chinese medicine. And then we go through the theory, then on to the application. If we have this type of experience going on in our life, well, then we can use the book, open it up, see, all right, well, what are different foods? What are lifestyle items that I can incorporate? How can I focus on different practices, whether it's meditation, breath work, to help shift whatever is going on? So those are a few things that are in the works and actually happening right now too.
Awesome. I look forward to it and I can't wait to read it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. This was awesome and always a pleasure. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's so great. Always learning so much from even just our conversations and we just chat on the phone. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's always fun to talk to another fire person.
I was like, oh gosh, are we going to, like the interview went really well because I was like, oh my gosh, are we going to get through this? Because I know how our banter is, but it was wonderful. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. Always so much fun.
So thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to the Soul Awakening podcast so that you'll be notified of our new interviews and episodes and meditations and activations when they release. You can find all the episodes online on soulawakeningpodcast.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and pretty much all places where podcasts are found. And again, don't forget to leave a review while you're there. If you love the information that you heard today and it sparks something in you,
feel free to share it with your friends and your family as well. I'm your host, Kat Fowler, and thanks again for listening. Wishing you peace, love, light, and joy for the rest of your day. I'll see you on the next episode.